Sorry, pardon. Good morning, everybody. My name's Barry. I think most of you know my name, and for those of you who don't, well, my name's Barry. just a little bit about myself. I've been back in Cornwall since I retired about, coming up for 4 years ago, having God sent us, having raised our kids, Sue and myself, and raised our kids substantially down here in not just Cornwall, but Truro, the center of the world. And God took us away for 15 years, and I'm back. And came back to be a part of Grace Church, and it's a wonderful experience being a part of Grace Church. You can read that exactly how you like and whatever it is, but God is amazing. So I feel really privileged this morning. I feel honored and I feel terrified at the passage that I've been given to speak on this morning. Going back a few weeks, Andrew introduced us. No advertising intended. I'll try and keep him this way around. Andrew, when he was starting off in Ephesians, he introduced us to the... Let's do it the right way up. To the three mugs. No, three cups. Let's call them cups. Could be misunderstood. And he nicked this illustration from Andrew Wilson. So he honored him. It's not original to him, and it's certainly not original to me. But I thought we'd just mention it again, because what Andrew told us was this was an illustration of actually what's in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And God speaks through Paul to his church in Ephesus and to his church in Carlisle. No, that's where I used to live. Sorry about that. His church, where are we? Anyone know where we are? We're in the center of his world for us, Grace Church. And he's speaking this to us as well. Our God is a God who speaks and affects the whole of the universe through all time and all space. And he speaks through Paul in this letter to bring it all together, to paint the big picture of our amazing God and how he is involved in doing amazing, wonderful things. There's a technical word, I think, cosmologically, in terms of the whole of time and space. But he's also speaking in this letter to this thing which is the treasure of his heart, the delight of his heart, the thing that he's speaking to and building, his church. And he's also speaking at the same time in this letter, he's speaking to individual people. We're not so much going to be talking about this morning in chapter 4, but we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about Paul's instructing us and seeking to stir us in terms of the outworking and how it's going to be working in relation to what we've already heard a week or so ago. He is building a building, a temple. And he's taking individual stones and he's building them all together based on Jesus. He is building his church. He is building his church in Carlisle, I'm pleased to say. He's building his church in Truro. He's building us. I'd like us to read together, if we may. And it's from Ephesians, and I'm going to read it. And I'd like you to, if you've got your Bible, you want to follow in your own Bible, follow in the translation that you've got. And we're going to start at the very end of chapter 3, and then we're going to go through chapter 4. I hope you can read it. There's quite a lot on one page there, which is slightly different on the computer. Just a little reminder, which you'll know, Paul was, if you can imagine, Paul was in prison, probably in Rome, round about the year AD 60, approximately, give or take a little bit, 30 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension. And Paul has been a Christian, work out the sort of the dates, for quite a long time. Paul has been through a great deal. Paul is excited about what God's been showing him through his experience. And he wants to communicate this to the Ephesians. The Ephesians are close to his heart. The Ephesian church, he saw himself as a father to them. Because going back a bit, we read about it in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, 18, where going back quite a few years, Apollos, who was known as an apostle at that time, Apollos did a quick flit through Ephesus. Ephesus is on the map? It's right on the east coast of what is now Turkey. Quite an important place. Paul, Apollos did a flit through there, and he landed, and he was a relatively young Christian, Apollos himself, and he got connected with quite a few people and told them about Jesus. And they said, this is wonderful. A little while later, Paul, on his third missionary journey, lands in Ephesus, comes in from the land to Ephesus, and he calls these people together and read about it. It's so exciting what happens in Ephesus. And rapidly, people wanted to know and were excited. People were coming to know Jesus big time. And as a natural consequence of that, there was big trouble as a result. The authorities and those whose vested interest were being challenged by this Jesus thing.
We need to get rid of this guy.
So Paul now, later on, his heart is full for them, and he is in his jail, he's in his prison, and he is dictating to the person that's doing the writing in Greek. They call it an amanuensis, someone who listens and writes it down. And so can you imagine Paul? Maybe he's leaning against the wall. Maybe he's got a chain around him, we don't know. Maybe he's leaning against the wall and he's seeing something. His heart is filled with this something. Or he's standing up. If he's anything like me, he'll be doing this. And he's seeing the Ephesians and he's painting this incredible picture. And I can imagine it. The poor guy's writing this down. He's one of the followers of Jesus. Oh, Paul, slow down, will you? I can't. Slow down. We'll say that again. And it flows. And so there is no actual chapter breaks when he's writing this down. But he does take his breath. Every now and then, Paul, and then off he goes again. So we're gonna finish on one bit, at the end of chapter 3, verse 20. And then he takes a breath, but he goes straight on in. So let's follow it, and I'll read it. This is Paul, off he goes. As a result of what he's just been talking about, the mystery of the Godhead, who is revealed. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, says Paul. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Yes! Amen. I, therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you, actually, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, there is only one body, and one Spirit, just as you were all called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he's quoting Psalm 68, verse 18, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth, the spiritual world? He also descended and then ascended. He descended and went down, but then victory. He ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill, this is Jesus, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of service, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge, the experience, the broad knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Lord Jesus, will you help us this morning? Would you bring revelation of what you're saying to these people? Would you bring revelation to us of what you're saying to us this morning? Would you excite us afresh? Excite us for the first time. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us this morning. Amen. I'd like us to start with the springboard to this passage. And the springboard to this passage is those first two verses that we read. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And the reason that is the springboard is because that is the only way, the absolute only way this can happen. It's only by the power of God. And what the power of God seeking is wanting, is longing, desiring to do, is beyond our wildest dreams. Our wildest things that we can even imagine, let alone expect. And what he's talking about this. He's talking about his church. He's talking, Ephesians, this is you. Ephesians, he can do, and he wants to, he's willing to do beyond even what you could think, let alone ask. But it's going to be based on, he's going to do it. It's going to be his power. And so as a consequence of that, yes, to bring it on, man, he makes two appeals. Paul goes straight into two appeals that he makes to the Corinthians. And the first one in verse 1 is, I'm begging you guys as a consequence, therefore I beg you, verse 4 and 6, live right, walk right together. It's the first one. I've heard all about you, Ephesians. You're doing so well. But this is a church that there were, at this time, there probably of the order of 3,000 people across Ephesus that were a part of this thing. Now, it was not just a sort of a little hole in the wall type. These were a lot of people. And he addresses relationships, the way you are, the way you relate to one another. Humanly speaking, you put two people in a room who have opinions, and you have politics. Oh, no. You have disaster. If you're married, you know what it's like. It's tough. It's the other way is only God can make it work. And he appeals to the Christians. Get your relationships right. And then he says very specific ones, which you won't dwell on. Read them again. He talks about humility, gentleness with one another. Patience, oh please, patience. Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. For one body and one Spirit. One hope that belongs to your call. That's the first one. The second appeal that he makes is this. Walk in it. Walk in it. That's in the next verse. Verse 7. Walk in it. I'm appealing to you, Ephesians. Walk in the grace given to each one of you. The gift that he has given to each one of you, live it, walk in it, do it. Two appeals as a consequence of what God wants to do amongst you there. I want you individually to make sure that you're walking in your right relationship and you're living out what God has made you and wants you to be. Let's move on. We read, this is the nitty-gritty of this. We come on to this particular verse. He gave the gifts that he gave to his church. He says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and just very quickly, I'd just like to go over, give an idea. If we could try to sort of put to one side our, dare I say, our traditions of what these are, our expectations of what they should be. If we just put them to one side for a moment, if we could take away any sense of, oh, these are all gone and all these other, if we just see what the context that Paul is writing to the Ephesians about and that God's wanting to challenge us with today. The apostle, simple. The apostle is the one, the sent one, the one who's sent. Now, You can think of lots of people. They might be sitting next to you that you would like to be apostles because you want God to send them somewhere else. Sometimes, even within marriage, yes, even within marriage sometimes. But what a way! This is a gift that God's given. The word apostle means made up of two little words, and the first one is from, and the other one is sent. So, the apostle is somebody who God clearly sends from somewhere and sends them to somewhere. We've got them both together, a sense of going with purpose. And what the apostle does, the apostle goes under the anointing and the direction of the Holy Spirit. The apostle-type person lays foundations and then the apostle-type person, having laid foundations, he takes a measure of his heart is as a father towards what he's been laying. The picture that we've heard the other week was about building a temple. So it's like seeing stones built one after another on top of that and something taking shape. Somebody comes in, lays the foundations, relational foundations, and then because of what God's doing and it's beginning to happen, that person, oh yeah, I feel like I'm a father to these people. He fathers them. She fathers them. And not in the sense of fathers do not, do they? Should they? Fathers do not control their children. They release their children. And it's their father's heart that wants them to be released in order that they can come to all the full potential of what they can be. Just so an apostle, he's sent. They're sent for purpose. The prophet. In the Old Testament, prophets appear. But first of all, right at the beginning, they were referred to as seers, S-E-E-R. And that speaks of what they did. Think of the likes of Samuel, who was sort of exceptional person in the history of Israel. And he saw situations, and he saw what God wanted him to see. And had a profound role in relation to how his people should be going. And later on, as we move through the Old Testament, the word tends to drop off a little bit. So you get them both, and you get the word prophet, and hence the word that we're using. This is the one that God communicates with, and they express it. They say it, they speak it, they talk it out, they communicate what God is wanting to say. And we have whole books of referred to them as the prophets, the major prophets, the big ones, long letters, and the small ones, the minor ones. And they're seeing things from God, but they're expressing through their heart to God, to crying out to the people. In the New Testament, prophets see and hear and feel aware in 101 different ways, and they're aware of what God wants to say to his people, to encourage and to build up his people. Prophecy is just like that. Prophecy is exactly the same. Prophecy is for encouraging. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14. The evangelist, what does the evangelist do? Oh, the evangelist. Oh, a mind, if you've been a Christian for more than a day or a week or a year or whatever, a mind gets filled with expectation of what an evangelist is. An evangelist is simple. It's really simple. Simple. Again, the Greek word points in this direction. The evangelist is someone who, I'm sorry, I don't wish to sound demeaning. The evangelist is the person who tells the good news. He just tells the good news. The good news. The good news. An evangelist is someone who tells the good news. Duh. We'll come on to that maybe later. And what else have we got? We've got the shepherd. Interesting about the shepherd. The shepherd is the word that's always used for this, because the people it's written to, Old Testament and New Testament, they all understand shepherding, because most of them either did it or had a son who was now doing it, or the whole of their society revolved around sheep, sometimes goats. And so they all understand what a shepherd did. The shepherd made sure that the sheep had food, and the shepherd made sure that the wolves or the next door neighbors didn't nick them. Protection and food so that the sheep could thrive. What about the teacher? I had a bad experience at school. I wish I could say it was once. I had a systemically bad experience at school from teachers. It's a generational thing. So it's only me and maybe a few others here, not to name anybody who probably experienced this. But what my understanding of what a teacher was through experience, hard experience, was teaching was the teacher telling me what I needed to learn. And because I have a dreadful memory, even then, I can't even remember what my name is. What's my name? Oh, Barry, that's it. That's not what a teacher is. A teacher is somebody who facilitates, who enables someone to learn their life to be different, to be, see things different, for change. That's what a teacher does. These are gifts. These people are gifts in order that the house can be built. The house can be built up. A couple of qualifications, if I could just qualify it a little bit. What do these people look like? What do they feel like? That's what I really want to say. The most important thing is that these people are servants. They serve. They have a ministry. What is a ministry? What is a ministry? A ministry is something that we have taken, and it's become something that we all understand and we use, and we have a pigeonhole for it. And it's something that my ministry is blah-de-blah-de-blah, or that person has a ministry. That's not the word. That's not the word at all. Every time you see the word in your translation of the Bible, and it's ministry, it means servant. But we don't use that word, because now we've got a concept. Even the stupid people who translate our Bibles into English from original language. The original is their servants. And they're servants because they serve. These people that we're talking about, first and foremost, they don't just serve, but they're servants. The thing about servants and servanthood and serving is that when God's in it, it's always a work in progress. It's always a work in... God takes people, and if they have a little bit of a heart, he grows them in servanthood. He grows them in the qualification actually to be used by him. And for a servant, it is not what they do. Oh, I do this. I'm better because I do that. And I do it better than they do it. I wouldn't say that because you've got to be humble. We can give that impression. We can value that one because, oh, they do it so much better. The reality is we do what we are. We do what we are. And a servant is someone who is, who then does. So if I could just sow this thought for you. These people, God did not give them a gift. God did not give Paul the gift of being an apostle. God didn't give any of these people gifts. He made them like that. He shaped Paul. He shaped Paul. This is absolutely staggering. Paul acknowledged this. Right from before he was born, God knew. And in his incredible foreknowledge, he knew. And he was taking every opportunity. Even Paul was a horrendous character, wasn't he? He was so sure that he was right. He was so full of being one of God's people, that when these Christians were causing havoc, he went for them. He went for them. And the Christians at the time were in fear of this guy called Saul, because that was his name. They were terrified because he was with papers from the high priests, and he were going and arresting and putting into jail Christian after Christian. He was rabid. God used even that when he knocked him off his horse. And then he continued what he had started in this man. He continued to grow him and grow him and grow him. What was in him and what he'd nurtured grew and grew and grew and grew. That's what they are. Just quickly, what they're not. These people, these gifts, are not a job, not a role, not a position. It's not a career. They're not the missionaries. Sorry if that offends anyone here. They're not necessarily elders, because elders have a completely different function than what we're talking about this morning. They're not a certain age, or you've got to be a certain age. No, that's not it. They're not men or women. They're not all male. They're not male or female. They're people. It's not their qualification. It's not they have a certain education, or they do all the talking, or they're that outward-going sort of person. They've got it. Their gifting, the gifting that God gives to these different ones, is not like a laser beam. Intense, focused. The gifts that he gives to these people is broad, like a broad beam. And these gifts that he gives to these people, it's a variety in how it expresses itself. Different sorts of people can be a this, that, or the other. And it's expressed differently in different ways. It's a broad gifting. Each one of these is broad. It's not just narrow. What's unique about these people is there are people with a purpose. And the purpose of these people is... that's them. We've got some more down here. That's the church. These are a part. I haven't got time to put more out, but there's lots of them, actually. This. No, that's misleading. We'll have them all the same size. So I don't want you to get an idea that they're head and shoulders above the others. But I couldn't afford to get all these from Starbucks, so I borrowed these from the back. So, here he is, or here she is. Why are you laughing? Sounds counter something, doesn't it? But actually, there's no stipulation. Anyway, that's another issue, which we'll gloss over. The purpose of this guy, when I say guy, I mean in the American sense, male and female, guys, okay, you guys. This guy, his purpose, we read it in this verse, verse 12, is to equip the saints for serving. He's serving, this guy, she, whatever, this person is serving by equipping all these to be doing it. Yeah? To build up the body of Christ. And my translation says equip. But that's a wrong connotation of that actual word. The word actually, if you're into these sorts of things, we have an English word which is a transliteration of that. And there's catharsis. Catharsis is to... it's used in a narrow sort of way, but it's to bring release, particularly in an emotional sort of way. But that's the meaning of it. It's to bring release. This person, I've forgotten which one was it. Was it that one? This one. Let's say it's this one in the middle. It's to bring release for these people, whatever that means, in order that they can be doing it, building up the body, causing the body to grow and to serve, and here's a thought. I know there's a couple of ladies here who do sewing with sewing machines. Wonderful, amazing. I don't understand it at all. And come up with all sorts of ingenious things. And if you want to go and have a look on Instagram, follow these people. Now, there's one in particular that I know, and this lady, she does, you know, amazing things with the sewing machines, makes all these et cetera. And one day I said to her, I know you did all this sort of stuff at university, and but where did it start with you? You know, how did you, where did you pick up the whole, why on earth did you, where did you get this from? And she said, my mum. My mum, she showed me how to use a sewing machine. A sewing machine. I think that's a, I think they should be banned because they're instruments of torture. Her mum taught her how to do it. And she picked up something and something grew within her that, if you like, got passed on. I don't know, is it geneticists here? Is it a genetic thing? Something that's truly fascinating. I think absolutely amazing. I can't remember if she was five or she was six, but the daughter of this lady, certainly now she's seven, she sews like a flipping wizard. That's amazing. This is three generations of flipping sewers. And what does that say? I think that's a great illustration of the fact that we reproduce after our own kind. What we are, the real things that are inside of us, we recognize them in others. And we sort of encourage it in others. That's the way things work. We reproduce after our own kind. This is the picture. This is what God wants to do through you, Ephesians. This is what God is doing. Yes, this is more and more. This is what he's... And what's the result of this, Ephesians? The result is this. It's just a sort of a... The result is that people are going to be built up. Their lives are going to be transformed from the inside out. They're going to continue to grow and get more excited. They're going to mature. They're going to come to individually. But together, they're coming to be something. The lights are being turned on, so to speak, in Cornwall. Church is actually what it is, and everything about it is going to be reflecting God and the glory of God. Because why? What's making the difference? Because this actually working is impossible. Humanly, it's impossible. These people relating together with all their issues and their problems, just as they are, relating together, building relationships together and expressing something that is not selfish but which is serving, is going to cause it to grow and grow and grow and grow in terms of the likeness of Jesus. And do you know the other thing about this, which is absolutely staggering? Ephesians, you're going to grow as well. And the Ephesian church did. When this is happening, the society in which the Ephesians lived in were gagging for something that was real and tangible, something that they could actually see and they could be touched by it. These people that were not just serving, but what they had was, they had a life which is completely different. What's the application for that for us? The application for us is that these people are here. These people that we're talking about are here in this room in Truro today. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And this needs to be read alongside what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 12 as well. These people are here in this room. Now, I could name a few. I know what I am. It's taken me, I won't tell you how old I am, but it was a long time since I went to school. It's taken me decades to come to terms with what God has been making me all through this time. And I won't go any more into that. But I find it easier to notice things about people who are a bit more like me. Now, there are other people here that aren't like me, and they're here already, and they're doing already. We have some exceptional gifts among us. Some we see Andrew's an exceptional gift. Not because he's clever or he's anything special himself. Where's Laura? She could testify to that. But God has formed this man over the years. And he's actually so much different from what he was 20 years ago. And in 20 years' time, Andrew, you're going to be even more different. Because he's still shaping Andrew. And there are other people here that he's already... yes, there's other people here that are beginning... Yes, I'm beginning to get it. I'm beginning to find a freedom in being myself. But everybody else who doesn't feel it, God's forming and shaping you as well. Because this gift is given to... These gifts are given to all of us, not just the special. It's not the people at the front. It's... The only basis I say that is what Paul says here. You discount yourself. You say, not me. I'm not special. Right, you're not special. But he's given you a gift for you to serve out of and to serve from. So here's a big question. Could I ask? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to be a servant? I don't mean just serve. I don't mean just, it's nice, it's great. It's great, I feel good when I give out the coffee, when I'm serving. It's more than that. It's inside. God wants to make us into servants in our heart. And then you say, Barry, this is what's coming natural for you. This is what I'm making you into. And the reason I'm making you into this, Barry, or John, or Helen, or Henry, or whatever you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, and chosen to be a follower of Jesus, whether you feel good, qualified, or not, he has given you, and he wants to make you into more of the gift that you are. And that the significance of that is that he's going to use you to build this thing. Not the bums on seats, but to build his church here. The way that it starts is we recognize that those who obviously are, and their job is to release the rest of us to find our part and to find our place. That's their job, not because they're special, but because they're a couple of steps ahead of us in how he's growing us. And as those that are, I've got a feel for this is what's me, and you begin to walk in that, then you grow. And those that are clearly that at the moment, and they know that they are, please keep growing. But your job is not to pontificate on it, is it? It's to recognize those that have a sort of a penchant, just slightly like you, and encourage them so that together the whole thing will be built. Together that we will be so attractive to people who want more out of life. They won't just see, special individuals, but they'll see, what's about this? What? There's something, there's a reality. We would say it's God doing the impossible amongst us. Come and join us. My question for you that is, are you willing? Are you willing to become a servant? To be a servant? To be more of a servant? Are you willing to be used by God in what he is making you and how he's wanting to use you? Because fundamentally it's a choice. And you say, I've got this sort of feel, but this is where the first two verses that we read kicks in. Humanly, nah. Never, never, never. But beyond our wildest dreams, beyond what we could even think of, he will do and is able to do by his power, by his Holy Spirit working in us. What if we were a people like that, with that willingness and that expectation? What would be the result? This is the result. We would say, falling on our knees and on our face before God, we would say, oh, God, you are amazing. God, you are truly glorious that you could do such with such as us. Well, what are you going to settle for? Do you want to settle just to go to a meeting? Boring old meeting, gets bored after a while. Fortunately, it's only for 1 hour a week or whatever it is, and that's it. But you want to be a part of something that's living and vibrant, that you're a part of, and it's actually growing. It's impacting the community. It's impacting Truro. It's impacting Cornwall and Greater Cornwall, and even beyond, not because of our actions and our brilliant gifts, but because this body is compliant in his hand. He's able to do what he wants to do with us. Oh, yes. Yes. Change me, please. I put up my hand first. I want to be changed into what you want me to be and how you want to be. Yes. Can we all stand? This will be an opportunity to respond to what God's shown you this morning, not what I blethered on about, but what God's showing you and what he's doing and stirring in you. Can you take us on from here, Andrew? Bless you.